This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Free for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. As football fans, we often pride ourselves on knowing everything, from which substitution can turn the game around to the quickest route home to beat the crowds. However, when it comes to discussing feelings with our friends, we might not always feel as confident. That's why we're here to equip you with the right tools so you can reach out to those who can help. If your mates are struggling, let them know that the Samaritans are free to call on 116 123. That's 116 123. They are there to listen without judgment or pressure, 24/7, 365 days of the year. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of That Millwall Podcast, the Friday Night Live. Much like the Lions, with first team captain Sean Hutchinson out injured, our very own captain leader legend Mickey is out of action this evening. Not to worry, he's not injured. He should be back on Sunday for the live. So tonight you're going to have to deal with myself, Stephen, and to my left, right, I never know how this works, I've got Northern Wall Ben. Ben, how are you?
I'm all right, mate. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad. It feels like it's been a long, long time since we've been doing this, especially just a couple, because we did a couple where it was just the two of us. But last year we spent Valentine's Day together. Apart from the commentary result, what a Valentine's it was. Guys, obviously tonight you've got myself and Ben. Again, much like the first team, a lot of our players are coming back and only getting 40-45 minutes. Might be a slightly shorter show this evening, but we'll do our best to get all things Millwall talking and underway. Evening Ken, evening Carl, we've got Dan, Mark, Tom, Lions Roar, Chris, Connor, Miles. I don't recognise that name, Miles. If you're a new listener, welcome. And Peter, Daniel, Ben, let's start with a little bit of good news that come out of the club this afternoon. The John Berylson Way has finally all been confirmed. I believe tomorrow. I think tomorrow they're unveiling it. Excellent news, right?
Yeah, absolutely, mate. I think, obviously, there was obviously a lot of calls from the fans for something to be done. I think, in my opinion, it's probably the best thing we could have done. It's difficult renaming a stand. Obviously, statues probably was never going to happen. But, yeah, fantastic gesture, thoroughly, thoroughly, thoroughly deserved. An amazing tribute to an amazing chairman, man, etc. So, yeah, absolutely amazing from the club, and I'm assuming the council for letting us do it. So, yeah, amazing.
Absolutely. I think you're right. It's really tricky, especially with a club like ours, finding the right way to do these things. And that kind of feels like you kind of immortalised really forever. That's never going to change. You know, things will come and go, but the road that will remain the same. Miles New, excellent. Please like and subscribe. I'm going to do my Mickey spiel now. If you could all like and subscribe, that would be great. Peter, David, this is a great one. The Lion Blue. It'll be short without the fan on the ball waffling on. I'm sure we can do our best to match Mickey, but there is only one, as I'm sure you're all aware. David Turner, good evening. Dan Riggs, 1:30 tomorrow. James is cutting the ribbon on it. Got to see that. Yeah, I think that excellent. I mean, for the Berylson family, for Millwall fans, for everybody associated with the club, I could just bring this one up as well. He deserves more. I think it's really tricky, as you just said there, Ben. We could do everything for the man, because he made us perhaps who we are today, and kept and gave us a club to keep hold of, but it is very tricky to find the right way. So by doing it this way, as I said earlier, he's immortalised pretty much forever.
Yeah, and as you say, I didn't really actually think about it, but if anything does happen in the future where we move the ground, whatever, that rule, that the road name will remain there forever, mm-hmm. right? So it's a fitting tribute to him, because he will forever be a huge part of Millwall as we know it now, and just the club forever. So, I don't think we could have done any more for him. So, yeah, an amazing tribute. And interesting one there that Dan just mentioned about James being over. Was that something that's happened in the last couple of days? Was he going to be at the game, or...?
I'm not sure. I think the fact that this is all tied together, probably he would have been there for the first home game. It's just so coincidental, perhaps, that it's all happened so quickly. But probably in the background, they know before we do, obviously, what goes on, don't they? So he's probably been told, look, this is going to happen. Can you be available, etc. Tony, I've just seen Mickey Moonlight on Joe Rogan. Statue at least. Yeah, David, look, I think the club, I think this is the start of something. I think there'll be more to come, but it's the right way. Lions Roar, and this leads me on nicely to the next sort of thing we were going to discuss. Great timing to unveil it on our Memorial Day. Something I think is really important that the club do, because a lot of people, Ben, I think you've given me this answer, I've given this answer, other people have, to why do you support Millwall? And I'm sure the guys in the chat would be exactly the same. Why do we all support them? Because our dad does, our family does, our granddad, our uncle, our aunts, our mum, sister, wherever it is the reason why we support the club that we do. And unfortunately, over the last year and beyond, we've lost some Lions along the way. And I think it's very nice that it is on the same day that we're unveiling the sign, Ben.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's the bit on the website says once a line, always a line, fitting for John Belson. And obviously all the friends, family, loved ones that unfortunately we've lost over the last year. So, look, it seemed to have worked in all ways, really, didn't it? So a fitting tribute to a superb man. And yeah, it's always an emotional day, a Memorial Day for people that are involved with celebrating lives of people that we've lost. So yeah, it's worked out in a nice way, let's put it that way.
Yeah, and obviously I think we can all admit that Bristol City game, when obviously we paid our respects to John, didn't quite go the way that we would have liked in terms of the performance and the results. So tomorrow might be, obviously we'll come on to the game a bit later, but tomorrow might be a really, really good opportunity for us to put that, make that wrong a right a little bit, and celebrate John again, and perhaps get us off to a better start celebrating it this time, perhaps.
Yeah, absolutely. It'd be nice to, as you say, right that wrong, giving us a second bite of the cherry at doing it. But yeah, hopefully we can get a result. So I'm sure we'll talk about it in a lot more detail later. But yeah, it's another opportunity to, again, put in a good performance for someone that put in a huge performance for us as a club.
Absolutely. As Dan said there, just on there, it's in the blood. 100%, mate. 100%. Once you've got the bug, there's no going back. Does this mean the mascot will be renamed? Not sure. That could be next on the list. But the next comment from David, this actually leads us on quite nicely. As you may not know by the way that we're talking here, we've actually tried to be a little bit professional, got a little bit of a plan in motion. We're stepping up this evening. David, big up Jay for getting two good players for us. He's got good links. Obviously, we'd cover Tanganga. He was in the squad last week from Spurs for the QPR game. This week, we've signed Michael Obafemi from Burnley. Ben, first impressions?
Yeah, I mean, he's a player I think we all are probably aware of, just from me in the Championship the last few years. Ticks every box, I think, in terms of our needs, in terms of athleticism, pace, power, can stick the ball in the back of the net. I think he's got a fairly decent record, certainly at the mm-hmm. Championship level. Seemed like a really good character as well from his interview. Just quite a happy-go-lucky, chirpy guy. So I don't think mm-hmm. you're going to have any problems there in terms of his integration with the squad. Yeah, I think he ticks every box. So, an exciting one. And another player that has mentioned the conversation that he had with Joe and the plan that they'd spoken about and how that played into his decision. So, yeah, a player that I would imagine a lot of Championship clubs would have been after as well. So, yeah, as I say, ticks every box. Great sign, in my opinion, and one that we hugely needed.
Absolutely. And before I carry on, Lelou Blind, yeah, thanks, Stephen. Proper blunder there. That's why I had Ben there to correct my blunder. Yeah, no, I completely got that wrong, but you got it right. So this is why, you know, we're a team tonight. This is how it's going to go. Jay doing what we all expected, using his contacts, bring us in players we need. 100%. I think the signings, I've seen a lot of tweets talking about how we possibly wouldn't have got these kind of players under Gary Rowett. And I agree 100%. There is certainly the Edwards pull. Dan Riggs, don't want to be new negative, Dan, but this new forward hasn't played a full 90 in 2 years. I'm hoping he does the job. Ripped us a new one when he played against us. I think if you look at our track record, it doesn't matter who we've signed in January over the years. They've always been players that have been out of favour or coming back from an injury or looking to rebuild their careers. Ollie Burke, a prime example, the last couple of seasons, someone trying to find a home. Duncan Watmore obviously struggled at Middlesbrough. Players like that come to us because they need to start again. I think it fits the mould, as you said there, Ben, the way that he spoke, the way that he come across. Edwards doing his due diligence on him, spoke very highly. I thought it was very important because, you know, there's been a lot of talk about Obafemi and his character and the way that he is. So it's obviously not a decision that's just been done, you know, just find any old person. You know, a young pacey striker has been identified. So Dan, I do see what you're saying, but I think we have to come to expect that with our budget, that's the kind of players that you're gonna attract. Michael can play in the top 16. Great signing. Can't believe we got him, to be honest with you. Obafemi, brilliant signing, strong, fast, good on the ball and can finish. Obafemi will be part of a swap deal, including Zian Fleming next season, as long as Burnley stay up. That is an interesting point because
and how do we make that happen?
Well, would you take that deal? Personally, as it stands, I think I would. Fleming has not been the Zian Fleming that we saw for the majority of last season, and if Obafemi comes in and hits the ground running, why would you not?
You got to look at their attributes and what we already have in the squad as well. I'd say there, Stephen, as well. We desperately need. So Brad is out of contract in the summer. We don't know if he's going to be staying. Nisbet, just from what Joe said last week, I don't think he fancies him at all. He pinned a lot of blame in. Not the whole performance, but a lot of us not being able to keep the ball high up the pitch on Nisbet without actually calling his name out. I don't think he fancies Nisbet. I really don't. So if that was an option, I would be exploring that to its fullest.
Absolutely. I think there's some more comments that I'll get to. There's a couple of comments that have come in that are actually really, really good points that I will bring up. But on this,
Dan, as well, Stephen, just before you go on to that one. Yeah. So I was just having a look there. I didn't know he hadn't played 90 minutes for a long time. His last was October 22.
That's the risk that you take, isn't it? When you we need the quality players like that at this level, they're always going to be, you know, the injured type or the ones going back from an injury.
An element of looking at who he's played for in that time as well. He has played for Southampton, has played for Burnley in that time, who were flying in Championship, and then obviously have played in the Premier League. And he has been out all season pretty much this year with a hamstring injury. So.
Yeah, and that's it. I mean, I don't expect to see him start tomorrow. Again, we'll come to that sort of later on in the show, but it's working his way back to fitness and giving us another option for the remainder of the season. Miles, would like to know what's going to happen with SA. I've made my feelings clear on this over my social media channels. I think SA should be loaned out at this point. Last week, we had two attackers on the bench. We only saw one of them and we put in one of the worst performances of the season. If we're not going to pick him, we're not going to play him, get him out on loan. I'm sure there's plenty of League One clubs that would like to take him. right?
Yeah, 100%, mate. Again, I don't think he's... If you look at Amaku and SA as those young up-and-coming players that we've got in full positions, Amaku seems to be obviously favoured and has played far more minutes than SA. And again, for a manager who's exclusively managed in youth football, or best part of all of his career in youth football, Joe Edwards would know what it's going to take for SA to break in the team. He's clearly seeing something that he doesn't like. He hasn't played enough minutes, so it's got to be on the training ground or anything else that's going on. Again, I'm just trying to put two and two together here. So it's obviously something that Joe Edwards doesn't like or doesn't feel like he's ready for first team football. So, yeah, I think we've got to look at exploring loan options for him. Joe Edwards, in his interview with News at Den, or I saw he kind of, he was sat on the fence with it, wasn't he? He didn't seem like it was 100% going to happen, but didn't also rule it out. So who knows? I mean, yeah, if I was the manager, I'd be sending him out on loan. But
I actually think that interview was a bit of a come and get me for League One managers to come in and have a look and take a punt. There was a very soft link I saw just before we come on. And again, the credibility of the sources are, you know, not the best, but there was rumours that Derby potentially were looking
for him.
Yeah, it's because a top club at League One, at League One level, probably getting some really valuable experience. Again, the credibility of the source isn't great, but someone like that would be perfect for his development at this time. And I think they want Callum Lang from someone, and they're not going to get him, and it's coming to the end of the transfer window. People are putting two and two. I think so. David Ntanganga was linked to AC Milan a couple of years ago. I did read that. So again, the calibre of the players, and the fact that Edwards, we've already spoke about this, I know, but can name drop Mourinho, Conte. You know, we don't get that as Millwall fans, as Millwall manager. It's just wealth of experience that he can draw on. Daniel, that's not come up.
Just on the Tanganga piece, whilst you're going to the next comment there, Steve, as well. So, yeah, Dan, I mean, not only that, but Augsburg had a £10 million, well, reported £10 million conditional obligation to buy. So, yeah, he was still very, very highly thought of for Augsburg to be willing to shell out £10 million for him.
Absolutely. Anyone else expected to come in? There's talk, again, from Twitter, other channels, that we are still looking. Richard Curley said, didn't he, that there's a young prospect that wasn't Obafemi, or obviously Tanganga is a bit older, isn't he? But so I think they're still looking to do something.
The guy that's gone to Brentford, wasn't it? The guy from Bromley. It wasn't him that he was talking about.
No, but then someone asked when Obafemi was being signed, is this the prospect? And Richard come back and said no.
That was related to the guy that went to...
No, play. He did say that, but it's for both of them. So I think we're still looking to be active. It also depends, again, if Campbell goes back, if there is a move for SA, that might free up a little bit of wiggle room. Not too sure. Yeah, financially, the only...
only thing I would say on that, just Daniel's point there, Stephen, is, again, listening to Joe Edwards' interview on Obafemi and the game tomorrow, it didn't scream to me like we were... Still, he said quality over quantity. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's no one else coming in. I know the young prospect, but I'd imagine from that, he's not going to be a first team player or going to be expected to be in and around the first team anytime soon. So, I wouldn't be surprised if there wasn't any movement, unless, like what you just said, Campbell goes back or SA moves on.
Absolutely. And you know, though, that Edwards is playing the Millwall manager role. You say nothing and then all of a sudden something comes out of the bag. Seems to be a few people. Connor, I'll take Obafemi and a few million for Fleming. What are we really going to get for Zion Basin this season? Be honest here, 3 million.
Good point that Chaps actually made to me a few weeks ago. We were just talking about Fleming's form, and he's actually only got a year left on his contract as of the summer. So whatever figures we were going to get, summer just gone, going to be nowhere near that, coupled with obviously his form. Yeah, don't know. I think we'd be lucky to get anywhere near that now, personally.
How long is a piece of string, isn't it, comment with valuations of players? Because you look at some players and think, how do they go for that much or that little or whatever? So I don't know. I don't know the honest answer to the question of Fleming. Have we got a buyout clause in both signing, lads? I don't know. We don't for Tanganga.
So Tanganga's out of contract in the summer, but Tottenham have an extension clause on that. But the fact that they were obviously willing to let him go to Augsburg on a permanent would suggest they're not going to look to trigger that. So you would expect Tanganga to be out of contract. And I don't think anything's been mentioned with Obafemi.
No. And I think Obafemi is...
What did he go for, Stephen? Do you know, as in value-wise? I was trying to find...
I don't know if you can... Have a look at that for us. Will they really want Fleming if they stay in the Premier League? They wanted him this year, so who knows? It's probably a name that, if he does turn, the form does turn and a few more goals, I think he's certainly one that clubs would still be look at. Obafemi would smash our pay scale, can't see it. That's always the stumbling block as well, isn't it, is wages. Has Fleming got the mental strength for the Prem as he has lost his way towards the end of last season? Again, who knows? I've read and listened to the Fleming interview, and I think he sounds like a very frustrated man at the moment. He's not. I don't think it's that he's not happy. I don't think he's best pleased with how he's playing and how the team is playing. I think he wants more. He probably wants more from himself. He wants more from the team. But to do that, you've got to do that yourself to start with, haven't you? To try and get your team to try and drag your teammates through when they need you the most.
Yeah, I don't, he's not going to be happy with his form, is he? But he's the only one who can turn that around. He did struggle back end of last year. He's shown very, very, very small glimpses of the player that we thought we had beginning of the season last year. If he wants that Premier League move, he's got to find some more consistency.
Absolutely. And look, I think it's... As we said earlier, we don't know how much players are really worth, do we? It's someone comes to the club and says, right, we want to buy one of your players, and it's the back and forth, and then, you know, figures get touted. It's Fleming, ZM Fleming could easily turn it around, and then people will start sniffing again in the summer. Or it could carry on going the way that it's going, and you're thinking, well, we're not going to get hardly anything for him, and will he get a move at all? So it'd be interesting, but I think for this transfer window and beyond, I think Fleming will stay, and it'll just be dependent on how he can turn.
Slightly off-piste and off-script. I know we're trying to stick to it as much as possible. But so Fleming's got 7 goal contributions so far this season.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think he would get to come the end of the season? And there's a second part to this question.
What do I think he'll get?
What do you think he'll get to?
15 and contributions.
Goals and assists. So he's on 7 now, say halfway point there or thereabouts. Even if he gets 15 goal contributions, bearing in mind what he get, he got 15 goals last year, didn't he? Mm-hmm. Thereabouts. Do you think that's enough as a number 10 and supposed to be our main attacking outlet?
Oh, that's a really hard question, because if you just said,
I don't think it's enough. But I mean, 15 goal contributions is enough from our main man.
What's enough?
Well, I would certainly be expecting him to be up near the 20 mark. I would be expecting, I'd say 20 goal contributions, goals and assists. As a 10.
It's really tricky though, isn't it? Because the fact that our midfielders, and we've been crying out for midfielders to actually, you know, contributing.
By the way, if anyone comes at me about Bradders, I'm not having it. Saying how many goals he got.
The difference is, I think Fleming is supposed to be the kind of showstopper, isn't he?
Yeah, that's
the star
kind of
player, the star
that's
man. Lang plays for Wigan. So what that is then, I think Derby want him, but I think they're going to miss out on him to somebody. And the alternatives, there was a couple of names touted, and SA was one, but again, imagine getting Mourinho in to replace Baldy Barrett. That would be very, very interesting. Although, if I was a betting man, I would be putting my money on Jose Mourinho taking the Newcastle job in the summer. But
good shout.
We'll see. I think we'll get 2 more signings, 1 prospect and 1 on loan. There's a lot of people that are saying that we need 2. Again, it's all budget now. I think it's really, really budget driven for us. I don't think it's a case. I think if Edwards could, he'd have two or maybe even three players come in to really bolster us. But he's obviously been realistic and we know our capabilities. I think we get one more in, lads. Realistically, is that we can't compete with the Prem relegated clubs? No. And that's it. And that's why when we went to Leeds, again, we don't know what we offered for Charlie Cresswell. Again, going off the topic a little bit. We don't know what we offered, but they probably looked at it and went, that is nothing to us. It's not going to make a blind bit of difference. No, thanks. And that's just how it is with them clubs, right? With the parachute payments and the value of the players that they've got.
Well, the parachute payments now, it's just, I think if you look back over the last 10 years, I think it's just religiously that those parachute payment clubs finish certainly in the top six, but almost certainly go back up the season after. So the gap gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And I'm sure you'll see the likes of Luton, even if they do go down, that they will be a force to be reckoned with in the league if they keep hold of Rob Edwards. That'll be the biggest challenge for them. But yeah, just because they're going to have more money than us. If we're then competing with a club like that, you've got no chance.
Absolutely. I didn't know this. I haven't watched it. Cawley said on the South London Press podcast, Edward said 1 to 2 players coming in next week, but they will be young with lots of potential. I haven't heard that. I haven't listened to the podcast yet. So that is going to be my listening on the way to the Den tomorrow. But who knows? As I say, I think we'll keep their cards close to their chest with transfers. So whilst it seems, we'll see if anyone comes available and quality and this, that and the other. And then all of a sudden, bam, someone's through the door. But we need these younger players. We've said, haven't we, Ben and Mickey and Omar, that our squad is one of the oldest, if not the oldest in the Championship, the average age. We need to be bringing in younger players and sort that out a little bit. And I know it's not just a case of you can't just throw all your eggs at the youth and hope that they're going to do the job. But it's the way we've got to go.
Yeah. I think that'll be the big thing for Edwards in the summer. We've spoken again about the amount of players we've got out of contract in the summer. I would imagine that will be his key priority, will be lowering the age or the average age of the squad and getting in some younger players.
Absolutely. I'm going to try and keep up with some of the comments here.
It's 4 million.
Evening, Richard. Unless Tendango is a brilliant known spell on Tottenham, trigger the years extension and sell to the highest bidder. The loan market has shut on us many times already. Yeah. Again, like that's the problem with the loan market, isn't it? It's the risk that you take if you don't put clauses in. Connor, 15 goals and assists. I think he would get 5 more goal contributions or maybe 5 more goals. So that would put him what on 17. That wouldn't be too bad.
On his current form, I can't see him getting that. And I'm assuming, Miles, that's what we would expect him to get rather than what we think he's going to get. I mean, if we do get that, I'll be delighted, but I can't see it.
Derby signed Blackett Taylor from the NRS, very similar player to SF. Again, it was only the credibility of the source wasn't, it was one of these accounts that post about sort of a million transfer rumours and then one or two of them stick and go from there. Leeds, Signing Crystal must go next week, even if loan for now. I did see somewhere, though, that he'd patch things up with Fark. I don't know how true that is, but again, he's willing to try it. You never know these things. A couple of good games from Zian Fleming and those stats could have been blown out of the water. Agree 100%. Linked to Castledine and Moriera at Chelsea. Again, the fact that we haven't signed anyone from Chelsea it makes me think that there's something happening. There's waiting for something for some reason, like, I don't know, someone to move on elsewhere or Chelsea bringing someone in or something.
I think the other way, Stephen, I'm kind of going, the fact it hasn't happened yet means that we're not going to get anyone from Chelsea, because I would have thought we're not going to be getting anyone in and around their first team, right? It's always going to be a young prospect. So in my head, I'm thinking if that was the case, that would have been Joe Edwards' first call to any club to say, who can we take? And the fact it hasn't happened or it didn't happen early on means it ain't going to happen. But I'm more than happy to go with your theory over mine.
I've got it in my head that they've been working on something.
We're going to get Kunku on loan just to get some match fitness up.
Conor Gallagher to run the midfield. He's going to sack off a £40 million.
We don't need.
Dan Riggs, who's been banging this drum all January transfer window, Santos, remember I said it. Yeah, Dan, it's not happened yet, mate. You've been swearing blind. So, Chris, this is an interesting comment. Hazard definitely gone now. We could do the shake-up and get some better backroom staff. Firstly, I don't think there was ever any doubt that Alex Aldridge was staying at the club, because why would he leave? He is our director of football. The rumour of the fella from Palace, and I can't think of his name now.
Daddy someone.
Yeah, I can't remember. But he, coming from Palace, there's a lot of whispers that that's true. And we have brought in a head of recruitment. So watch this space. Aldo is at the club. He won't be going anywhere, mate.
It's on that as well, isn't it? Head of like youth recruitment. It's not head of senior football recruitment. It was my understanding of the appointment anyway. I don't think it was for it wasn't for senior appointments like Aldo's. Aldo will have control of all the scouting, I'd imagine, and all that sort of thing. So I think the guy that we were looking at from Palace, true or not, was that it would be more local talent, was my understanding.
Well, it's about time, because we miss out on so many that just seem to pop up at every other club other than ours. It's just a bit ridiculous, really. Lads in the chat, who would you rate? What would you rate? Sorry, the Joe Edwards transfer so far. Over to you, Stephen. What would I rate? I would say the actual signings that he's made have been very, very good. Overall, it's hard to judge on two players, considering that Tanganga's played, 20 minutes. But over time, I think there'll be good signings. For me, what's more exciting is the calibre of the players and the type of players that we've targeted. Edwards is clearly has a plan on who he wants. He's mentioned athletic. He's mentioned pacey. Tanganga, for his position, fits the bill. Obafemi fits the bill. So what he's talking and what he wants is what he's getting. And I think that's what makes it more exciting rather than the actual players, because they are loans and it might take a little bit of time for them to settle. But there's a clear plan and process that I think Edwards is following. And to me, that's what's more exciting.
Yeah. Ben? And yeah, just to add to that, like, I think the calibre of the names, I said if Tanganga had been, if Leicester had signed him on loan, I would have gone, yeah, just because I know him from playing at Spurs in the Premier League and I know he went out. Germany. So if he'd gone to Leicester, I'd have gone, yeah. If he'd gone to anyone else in the league, I'd have gone, yeah, great signing. Same with Obafemi. If he'd have gone to anyone else in the league, I'd have gone, that's a really good signing for them. Why weren't we linked with him? So the calibre in which the names, the players that we've been able to get in have far exceeded my expectations. I know they're only loan signings, but I don't see us ever. I think it's good, it's key to point out, I thought that Rowett took us to a next level in terms of recruitment. And I think, again, we've gone beyond that. You've already mentioned it, that Edwards has been able to tap in or at least have conversations with the likes of Mourinho and Conte about asking about players. I mean, Rowett's never able to do that, right? So I do think we've gone level and we've improved. So the calibre in which that we've got in, I think, has, definitely improved. Hopefully they can transform their names or their reputations that come with their names on the pitch.
Absolutely. Ben half full downer. I think that was in relation to not getting excited about... Was it not getting excited about transfers?
No, I'm assuming is it about Fleming? How many numbers he's getting?
Okay, possibly.
About, maybe, I don't know.
We're not getting anyone from Chelsea. They're all in bed in the stand. That comment, that video of the you can watch Chelsea now, can't you, from a bed. It's just ridiculous. Perhaps Edwards is waiting for the summer before tapping up Chelsea for a season-long loan. Still need an attacking coach, possibly. I think once we've got the right players, I think things will start to change. I mean, if you think about, again, going off on a bit of a tangent, if you think about a potential front three or four of Maku, Brooke Norton, Cuffy, Obafemi, and I'll put Bradshaw in there as kind of the real workhorse. You've got... It's a decent attack. It's pacey, a work rate, you hope. So I think it will start to come together. You will see Honeyman stitching me up on the 5 weeks, which I'll be finished. Robert Santos is coming. Yeah, okay. That little podcast, evening. Who's behind you, Ben? I'm assuming that's Mickey, but from what I gathered, that he wasn't going to be able to look at his phone. So Not sure who that is. Got to trust the process. Absolutely. Agree, Stephen. Thank you very much. Can you force Ben to watch a whole American football game?
What? Okay. I don't mind American football. I used to like NFL. I've got Madden, Chris, if that counts, on the first five. But yeah, I don't mind American football at all. Can't say I'm as into it as I used to be, but...
I rate the transfers this January. Would be better if we get the Brazilians from Chelsea, Santos and Washington. Would be lovely, mate. Would be lovely. Everything, mate. Apparently you're half four on everything, Ben.
I think I'm one of the most positive ones, isn't it?
Just going to skip a couple of comments to go into this one. Only time Ben is happy is talking about Bradder's mum, to be honest. That is true. Or Bradder's himself.
I think that's harsh, that, Tony.
I'll tell you what, Tony, if you get Ben on the subject...
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. As football fans, we often pride ourselves on knowing everything, from which substitution can turn the game around to the quickest route home to beat the crowds. However, when it comes to discussing feelings with our friends, we might not always feel as confident. That's why we're here to equip you with the right tools so you can reach out to those who can help. If your mates are struggling, let them know that the Samaritans are free to call on 116 123. That's 116 123. They are there to listen without judgment or pressure, 24/7, 365 days of the year. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
He likes his golf.
Yeah,
and he also likes his cricket. So if you get him on those subjects, he's a bit happy. Well, not happy at the moment with the cricket, but he's usually a bit happier about those.
I'm going to send him next month to play golf for 10 days, so I'm happy about that.
There you go. Joe Edwards said, next season we'll be looking at permanence. Yeah, and that's it. When players get released, young players get released all the time at football clubs, don't they? You know, they don't might not make it at Chelsea, at Spurs, at Arsenal. So I think that's definitely... definitely one to look at. Let's hope we ship Nisbet out back up north for 1 or 2 million. No, I can't see anyone paying that at the moment. Midfield is the issue at the moment. That's something we're going to come on to when we talk about the game tomorrow. It's something that I wanted to highlight. So we will come back to that, Miles. Whether our attack is well and good or not, they need the service. Yet again, we'll do that. Where's your link to U2's charity events? I was going to do this at the end of the show. Ben, I will do you first. Tell the listeners how close you are. You're becoming a lean, mean fighting machine.
Yeah, so, something like that, mate. nearly completed it. So for anyone that doesn't know, my charity was the Royal British Legion. I was running 50 miles cumulative. Don't worry, not all in one go, because I wouldn't be on the show anymore if that was the case. Yeah, cumulative of 50 miles over Jan, and I'm on 48.12 miles, and that's 96%. So I've got one more run left in me. Did it for twofold, obviously, to raise money for a great charity, and as you said, Stephen, to do a bit of timbering, get back into the gym again, and it's done both. I've raised over £500. I think I'm on £530 now for, as I say, an amazing charity. So yeah, it's been good. So one more run left in me. And hopefully I'm going to keep it up after that.
Just on that, I have just put into the chat, it should be in there now, the link to Ben's Social Sync fundraising page. If anybody would like to donate and sponsor. So Ben is doing a cracking thing. He's very, very close and he's raised over £500. So that's a superb effort. For me, my charity event is next week, next Friday. So I won't be on the live show with you guys. I'm doing my... charity 24-hour gaming marathon. Thank you to all of you guys who have donated so far. It's been very much appreciated. I will post the link to my Just Giving page as well. Anybody that has donated or does donate moving forward will be entered into a prize raffle to win the signed Millwall home shirt from this season. I will be picking the shirt up tomorrow, so I will have it on the live on Sunday, and we can sort out once the event's done, and we can sort out getting that.
Don't
out
worry, listeners, it isn't rigged, but I have been told I am the winner, so
mate, you've just absolutely killed me there. But Ben may be now disqualified from the draw.
If I do win, really. I'll pay it to charity. How about that?
Can't be Mickey. He's an OnlyFans with a feather duster and a cheese grater. Chris, it's remarkable how accurate you are there, mate. What you do in your spare time and what you watch, I have no idea, mate. But Tony, our playoff six, let's have a round. Ben, you've been challenged. Do you accept? Yeah. I mean, I think...
I'll play anytime, yeah. I'm happy to.
I think Tony's in New Zealand, so I think he might be inviting you out there to pay for your flights for your round.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Tony, get me out there, mate. I'm all over it.
I play a little bit of golf as well, but I am terrible, so I'm not playing either of you because it'll take you hours to get round and you just won't talk to me again. Well, sorry, mate, jumping the gun a bit. Not a problem. Usually it's chaos. When Mickey is in charge of this, it's chaos. Anything happens, we have the food reviews, we have all sorts of stuff that goes on, but we're trying to be a little bit more structured this evening. John, big transfer news this week. Maybe. Will Mickey be fighting a boxing charity fight against Ricky Gervais? I think we paid good money. Big transfer news this week is Tyrrell Hatton going to Live. We're not going to do a golf segment. I think Mickey will kill us if we do that, but who knows? Maybe.
I hope not.
No, I hope not as well. Sorry, that was a title. I meant a playoff 60. Yeah. It all comes out in the wash, doesn't it, in the end? Up to date with the comments. Let's move on to the game tomorrow. The Lions host Preston. Back in Championship action, one of I think three fixtures tomorrow in the Championship because of the FA Cup. So, I'm quite pleased about that we're not having to play midweek. That's a good start. Preston have kind of fallen off the boil a little bit from early season. We were pretty good over Christmas. Started a bit ropey after Bristol City. What are you expecting from the game tomorrow, Ben?
First and foremost, mate, a huge reaction from the QPR game. I think Fleming's interview, they alluded to it. Edwards' interview alluded to it. So I think there's going to be a reaction. I thought we were absolute certainties to beat QPR. I think we're absolute certainties to win Saturday. But yeah, I think that's the big thing. A reaction from the players on every level, effort, work rate, quality. So I think that's what we want to see. But yeah, I think we'll win Saturday. I really do.
Tony, again, if we score first, we win. Possibly. I think you're right. But I think it's a reaction is definitely required because there's no way. I mean, I was there at QPR last week and the fans were really unhappy with the level of performance. And I, personally, I think rightly so. I don't think they should have booed when Edwards come over. He seemed to get a little bit of grief. I don't think he was best pleased with that either, but I think he could understand the level of performance was unacceptable. But certainly a reaction. And one player, we spoke about him earlier, one player I would certainly expect some form of reaction is Kevin Nisbet, because he's really got to start bucking his ideas up to make it in English football, because you hear about these players that come from Scotland or Holland or France, and then all of a sudden they get shipped straight back and they never come out again, really. And I think not that it's his first season in English football. And I know Edwards made a comment saying that it does take time to adapt, but he needs to be better than what he was last week. But I'd certainly agree, Ben, a reaction is required. And back to the comment that Miles made. Firstly, they were unlucky against Leeds. They were. They were very unlucky against them last week. I don't think it's going to be a walk in the park. And the comment that Miles made about the midfield last week, I was amazed that Billy Mitchell and George Honeyman both kept their places. Not so much the case of Honeyman, more so Billy. This week, one, two, or neither of them keep their place, do you think?
I'm going to say one, mate. I think Honeyman still deserves his place in there. I think there needs to be a little bit of what had preceded the performance Saturday. It was so bad that I'm almost just happy to, not happy to, but I think you just got to put a line for it. Do you know what I mean? It was just so out of character that had say that preceded the previous results and performances, but I think you just put a line through it and say it was a blip. We didn't turn up. But I don't think Billy will start. I think they'll get Sav back in. But I would say I would really like to see Honeyman stay in there. I've said it a couple of times now. I don't think it's coincidence that our best run of form and performances have coincided with him playing central.
No, absolutely. And I think it's similar to what Alex has just said here. The worrying that the Jekyll and Hyde performances are still happening. It's true. We go from the good to the bad to the good to the bad. And it seems to go that way. Last week was definitely, I'd like to think, as you said, was a blip. It's got to be a... It's got to be forgotten about and moved on. Whilst I'm going to go through the midfield and get a little bit more, but if in the chat, if you can put in, would you start with Billy and George Honeyman? Would you replace one? Would you replace two? Let us know your thoughts. I am of a similar opinion. I think George Honeyman has probably done enough still to warrant a place in the starting 11. I think it would be Sav that comes in for Billy Mitchell, in my opinion. And I think you say to Honeyman, get forward a little bit more. I think that's a bit more suited to him. And then have Savage, your kind of your general holding in just in front of the midfield. But a prospect of the movement of Denoor and Honeyman in the midfield, coming for the ball, wanting to get involved, wanting to turn on the ball and move forward, could be an interesting prospect. But I personally would go Sav and Honeyman. But I would certainly be getting Denoor on the pitch.
I think our best two would be that pairing. I think Denoor and Honeyman for me is our best pairing in there. I think it's going to be our most dynamic ball playing. I think they tick every box, both of them, in terms of what you need as a championship midfield pair. Denoor can sit a bit deeper. I think those two, personally, are our best two in there. It's an interesting one with Sav, because I just think, where does he fit in that now, I feel like? I think he will start Saturday, but I think beyond that, he's obviously going to have a huge part to play for the rest of the season, but... Would you be?
Don't say it. Don't do it.
Okay. If the unspeakable happened, would you be surprised?
Yes, I would. I'll be honest with you. And that's not speaking with the George Seville, fan club in me here. It would just surprise me because when Sav come back in the team under Rout and he's played under Edwards, he's been a very good player for us. And I think a lead is something that we talk about. What I would say would be an interesting prospect if Zian Fleming continues to sort of flatter to Steve in the league and things don't quite work out. You could see Honeyman go into the 10 and then that would enable your Saville and Denoor midfield too. That could be an option, but we're not just for now, we're not going to drop Fleming for Honeyman in the 10. I think Fleming will be given the opportunity to try and rediscover the form from last year. I think Sav is one that Edwards will probably take off more often than not necessarily because he's been booked, but just because of the way that the games go and his role in the team. So, I don't want to think of a world of George Saville being dropped and then not ever coming back into the side. Eventually, I think Edwards is midfield. I think Denoor would, I think he'd be a real player under, he's a real player anyway, but a real player under Edwards, and he'll look to find someone to play alongside him. But for the foreseeable future, I think Sav still does have a role to play. Honey Badger is a must starter. Billy is a trier, but not championship standard. Tough, but I think it's hard. It's sitting on the fence with Billy Mitchell. I think it's either going to go one or two ways. He's either really going to get click and he's going to develop, or he may end up, dropping down into League One. One Honeyman or Sav and Denoor. Sav and Honeyman tomorrow. How fit is Denoor? Sav should come back. Defo. We don't know about Denoor, but he's now had a couple of weeks back in full training. Obviously, he come on in the Middlesbrough game, so I'd expect him to be close. Honeyman and Sav start. Denoor comes on after 60. Denoor should start if fit, and Harding should be dropped. Longman again as a striker. No, honestly, that was one of the most depressing 30 minutes of football watching playing as a striker. I don't blame Wright. I don't blame him. I'm not digging him out. I'm really not.
If Longman's coming on in front of Obafemi for the last 30, then something's gone wrong there as well.
To me, I've said this before, and I said it to you guys in the chat. That was a message from Joe Edwards to the board saying, "Get me a striker," because I don't blame Norman. It was a master plan.
Yeah.
Denoy is an instant starter when fully fit. Yeah, I think so. The fully fit is the interesting part there, because if he's not quite ready, he might not want to be risked. Peter, donated to you boys for your charity events coming soon. Thank you very much, Peter. Very much appreciated, mate. I like Billy Mitchell, but he's got to be on the bench. Sav has to start.
Yeah, Billy for me, I don't want to dig him out, but he's just starting to go on that Danny Mac trajectory for me. Of prospects of me thinking he was going to go on and be a Premier League fullback, Billy being a Premier League centre mid one day, and now they're just sort of plateauing, in my opinion, in terms of their development. I don't know why, but that nothing against them. They're good championship players, I think. But I just, there was a time where I thought Danny was just destined to play in the Premier League. And again, with Billy, I thought it was just a matter of time before a big club come in and snapped him up. But at the minute, it's not happening.
It's amazing. You must have seen this comment. I love Billy and hope he makes it, but I fear he could be another Ben Thompson. And that's pretty much what you've said. There was always going to be a
Ben Thompson. I still think he's a much better player than Ben Thompson.
Absolutely. But Ben Thompson, you thought was going to be Millwall captain and progress and move on. It didn't work. Billy Mitchell. This is what I'd said on a couple of previous shows, that the level of our youth players has improved. You know, we'd had them come into the first team playing in League One, weren't quite ready for the Championship. Now they're coming and playing in the Championship, but are they going to take us to the next level? And you hope that the likes of Amaku and SA, perhaps if they get, with SA, if he gets game time, that they take us to the next level. And you can tell that it's improving, but Billy Mitchell, as you say, I don't quite know what the development is. There's talk that Rowett was trying to change the way he played and keep him defensive, but I don't know. I hope it works. I hope it works for Billy.
He comes out the other side of it and he does carry on in that development trajectory that we thought he was going to go on. But as I say, it just hasn't happened this year, is it, so far?
No. Danny Mac at right back, Norton Coffey can't defend to save his life. I agree that Danny Mac should be a right back, but Norton Coffey, I think we've got to get further up the pitch. You've got to get him going forward. I think that's where we're going to get more use out of him.
The only thing I can say with that, based on tomorrow's game, is we saw QPR target Danny Mac and Harding with being direct. I remember, just because it was Elsie's first game last year, that they targeted Creswell with Ched Evans in the first half. I know he won 4-2 last year, but they really targeted him. So if Danny Mac's going to play in that sort of right centre-back role again, I'd imagine he's going to have a tough afternoon if Ched Evans is fit. I'm saying all this, but I'd imagine they'll be targeting him.
Yeah, absolutely. Until Obafemi is fit, Fleming up front and is a bit in behind. Bit worried about Obafemi, as I saw a static mannequin take him out in training yesterday. That was funny. That was quite funny, actually. Not the best of starts, is it, for him? We don't play over right back, we play right wing back. That's correct. We usually play over right wing back, but I think I would go with the four and put Danny as the right back, two centre halves, left back, and put Norton Coffey up the pitch. If we play with the right wing back, then obviously Norton Coffey would be out there. And again, with Danny Mac, he's played at centre half now, but we've just signed Tanganga. Is that a sign that he doesn't really fancy him there? I don't know. As we move on to the next level, so to speak, are our young players not moving in our transition? And I think they are, the Lion Blue. As I said earlier, I think they get better each time, but it's finding the ones that really go to the next level. It's almost as if they've got to a point and then it stops and it's happened again and it's happened again. That's where we've really got to find the killer youngster.
Yeah, and I think with the kind of next level is they do it on a consistent basis for us, and that they push us on to that next level, we make it into the Premier League or whatever, or unfortunately, just the way the football world is, that a Premier League club come in and buy them for big money. And we haven't seen that really in recent years, have we?
No. The only closest we got was selling those two lads to Southampton that went on to City, which we got some money for. So do you think Sarkic was at fault for the QPR second goal? I don't want to be too critical on Sarkic because it wasn't great. It wasn't, but I do think he was unsighted. And to be fair, you've got to say sometimes you need your defenders to react a bit quicker. Their fella got there first, put the ball in the back of the net, and you know, you'll say, should he be in that position? I don't know, but
50-50 is he seems to have one of those in him. And for me, he turned a corner, he looked like he'd improved, confidence had improved, and then. Is, I mean, we could all probably sit here and name five or six that we could pin on him, which, I think he's always going to have one in him, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's a tough one because you'd like to think he's going to improve, and he's still young, relatively young for a goalkeeper. So
game time as well, mate, as in first team game time. He hasn't had a great deal, has he?
No, got to go later. We'll see you later, Tony. Thanks for tuning in. Brian can jog on, sick of his errors now. That's another interesting one because I posted about this. Leicester was a goal down the left-hand side, two goals against Middlesbrough, one down the left-hand side, one shocking header from Brian. First goal at QPR was down the left-hand side. It's a little bit of a problem. Because we all said that Murray Wallace was past it, me included, give him a little bit of a battering. But Brian hasn't really come in and done much better, has he?
Yeah, I think he's always, certainly when I saw him at Fulham, and it's probably easy to do in a Fulham side that just always dominate the Championship, but he always looked like that sort of modern day wing back, didn't he, that loves going forward and couldn't really do a great deal going backwards. And I think that's exactly what we seem to have got with him. I think certainly in recent weeks, again, there's just been too many errors. I'll never, ever forgive him for the Blackburn game just because it was hilarious. It was just hilarious. How do we have an injury? You know, they run down that side and go and score. But there just seems to be a lot that I just don't think defensively he's fantastic. Again, would he be someone you could potentially move further up the pitch? I don't know. I think his qualities are certainly far better going forward than they are going backwards.
So this is for the benefit. Someone's a fan who sits a couple of rows in front of me just texted me for the benefit of John and Tracy who will be watching. Ben, does Murray Wallace start tomorrow? Should Murray Wallace start tomorrow over Brian?
No.
I actually thought Murray Wallace played quite well when he come on against QPR. Yeah, I thought he looked all right. And I've got a sneaky feeling that Edwards is going to put him back in. I'm not sure though, but I think Edwards might go with him. Will Harding get back in the side now that we have Tanganga? Again, I think Danny Mack would be the player that might be at risk because of obviously not playing in a natural position for him.
I think you've got Tanganga's fitness levels as well. I think you'll probably just see them be gradually up. So you might see him come on a bit earlier. Saturday, I don't think he'll start again tomorrow.
I'm just going to go through a few more of the comments. There's a couple more that are coming through. Ben, I'm going to ask you, while I do that, if you can give me your starting 11 for tomorrow, please.
Yeah, I was trying to have a think about this earlier and I was trying to wait to see if there was any sort of late lineup news or injury news, if anyone was coming back. So I think we're obviously going to go with Sarkic in goal. I don't think we'll change that back three, will we? So I think it's going to be Coops, Harding and McNamara, I think. I think Joe Bryan will start again. I think Sav will come in for Mitchell. I think Honeyman will stay there. I think Norton Cuffey will stay there. Fleming will start. I I suppose Watmore's got to start, hasn't he? We haven't got anyone else to play there. And then, again, a process of elimination, Nisbet's going to start. So the only change I'm actually making is Savin for Mitchell.
You're going to get absolutely pelted for that.
What will start? I don't know. I don't know how many more changes we can make, can we? Unless Casper comes in for Honeyman, or Honeyman goes in for, moves up for Watmore, potentially.
Is it just before I do mine, there's a few that Brian can't defend, needs to play further up the pitch. Something you touched on there, Ben, as well. There's a couple that have said it. You could probably see him a bit further up the pitch. Pace might be an issue because he's not slow, but he's not the quickest. But the delivery, you could probably get a lot more out of him moving him further up the pitch. Peony were lucky against Leeds. Expect a tough game tomorrow. I think we win 2-1. Come on, you Lions. Remember when King started, he was awful with us. Murray Wallace actually plays like he cares, even though technically he's not the best. I like him.
I love Muzzin, by the way, Rob. I really do. He's always one of my favourites. I've been one to defend him when he's been getting some pelters. So, I love Muzzin, but yeah, I just think, again, I know a few goals have come down Brian's side, but I'm just trying to think what is our best chance of winning the game. We need to score, don't we? So I'd keep Brian on just for his attacking play.
I'm also a little bit off subject. We were talking about it earlier. I'm reliably informed that Ched Evans is injured.
Oh, okay, that's the touch. So, we've seen as well, right? He's the same. Yeah. He bashed us up last year at Wigan.
Yeah. No, we don't talk about Wigan.
No. Yes, his brother.
Wallace is a better defender than Brian, but Brian is better going forward. I'd start Wallace. It's amazing the comments. And look, we're football fans. We're all fickle football fans. One week they're the hero. One week they're the villain.
Imagine this show 4 weeks ago, people saying Wallace has to play.
You'd get hammered, wouldn't you? Now it seems to be that the tide's turning. Yes, Muzza starts. Connor Sarkic, Matt Tango, Jesus, Wallace, Brian Denore, Sav, Honeyman, Obafemi, Fleming, Norton, Cuffy. I don't think dropping Cooper out of that is bold. I don't think that's far off, though. I would go Sarkic. I would probably like to see four at the back, not five. So Danny Mack at right back, Tanganga and Cooper.
Connor's team, he's dropped Coops.
I think Cooper, I would still go with him. I would, as a back four, I would like to see him start. I'd like to see him start over Harding. I think Harding's.
Oh, yeah, I absolutely
a little bit suspect.
I think he will. I just don't think he's there yet.
It's interesting. It's interesting to see what the fitness levels are like. But if he's able to, I would certainly start him. I think I would, in a back four, I would go Murray Wallace. In a back five, it'd be Brian. But in a back four, I'd go Murray Wallace. Midfield, Sav and George Honeyman. Norton Cuffy wide right. Again, process of elimination. This is where it gets a bit tricky. Possibly Watmore on the left. Fleming. And I know it's a risk. I really, really know it's a risk. But I would give Nisbet a kick up had an opportunity and go with Obafemi.
You dropped out then and came back in. I was sat on my second.
Sorry, if you missed that, guys, I said give Nisbet a rocket up the arse, get rid of him and give Obafemi a start personally. I know the fitness again, but you can take him off. I'd rather see 60 minutes of Obafemi. You can't compare Tom King playing against Spurs at Wet Lane with Sarkic playing at QPR. I think, and Ken has just put, he was talking about Brian King from years gone by, not Tom King. He's talking about Brian King. Wallace cares, that's his strength, not a fickle fan, but a realist who supports the team lacking resource and quality. No, I agree 100%, Rob, 100%. Alex S, oh, sorry, my error. No, not to worry, mate. Ken is probably our longest serving fan, so his knowledge and players far outweigh most of us, and I'm sure he won't mind me saying that. Ben, we're getting towards sort of the end now. We've gone for an hour. Prediction for tomorrow.
Yeah, as I said earlier, mate, I think reaction from the players is what we will get. I think Edwards will make sure of that. Again, just from listening to his interview earlier. So, yeah, I think we get a reaction from the players. I think with certainties tomorrow, although I have just read a couple of stats that concern me. One is that when we have scored the opening goal in 9 of our 14 league home games, we have scored the opening goal in nine of our 14 home games this season, but we have the worst record when doing so in the division. So that was
good. Great. Brilliant. Yeah.
And we haven't lost the press since 2019. So 4-0 defeat pending. No, I do think with certainties tomorrow, I think we'll win. It's our reaction from the players. I'm going to go 2-0 Millwall.
Okay. I mean, if you can not depress the listeners before going to the game tomorrow, that'd be great.
I will be telling all my mates, like I did last weekend, to put us in their ACCA, albeit none of them talk to me anymore, but I am telling them to stick us in their ACCA because we are nailed on.
I'm not as confident as Ben, but I think we'll get over the line tomorrow. I've just got it in my head that the whole unveiling of the John Berylson way, the Memorial Day, is an opportunity to really try and celebrate John's life, as well as the other supporters that we've lost this year, sadly. I think the players need a reaction and the fans need a reaction from last week. We need to be seeing better than what we got. I'm going to go with 2-1. I'm going to go with a little bit of a rogue one here. I'm going to go with a couple of goal scorers, but I'm going to go outside the box a little bit because players that don't really pop up with many goals. George Honeyman, I think his performances have warranted a goal, and I think he might have a time to shine. And I'm going to go for one of the centre backs. We'll go for Big Coops. Hasn't scored for a while. Should have scored against Borough. Will Ben be travelling down on the Preston coach tomorrow? He's actually not far from Preston. You've got a Preston shirt under that jumper there, haven't you?
Preston did. He's got a hairy chest, mate.
We never did save that for Mickey's Only fans. We never play to the occasion. Proven fact. Hope we win, but can win tomorrow only as good as your last game. Nervy 1-0 Millwall 1-1. We're a lot poorer than you lot think. Look, I don't think we're the best team in the division by a long way, Stephen. I just think that we're so up and down. There's a good performance and a bad performance. We've had a cut. Middlesbrough was good in the first half, but the second half was flat and QPR was poor. I think the players, there'll be a reaction. 0-1 defeat from the Daily Millwall. Jesus, hate to say it, but days like this always go against us, like Bristol City game. Hope I'm wrong. 2-2, Fleming misses a pen. Guys, what are we doing? What's happening?
Yeah. No more negative fans, I think. We're going tomorrow. 6-5 fellas. Lump on. Pete, I was going to actually say Norton Cuffey is one of my goal scorers. We are certainties. 6-5. Get as much money on as you can.
Mike, hello mate. Not sure about tomorrow. I'll take an own goal, 1-0 win. Hopefully you're there and I'll catch up with you before the game. Tomorrow is an occasion that warrants players who wear a Millwall line to stand up and perform. Rob, I couldn't have put it better myself. Much like we expect at every game, tomorrow is an opportunity for the players to do the fans proud and the fans that are no longer with us proud. Ben, can I have some final words from you, please?
Thanks to Peter and Mark, who have donated to my wonderful charity of the Royal British Legion. Stephen, thoroughly enjoyed that, mate. And as I've just said, we're nailed on winners tomorrow. We're definitely going to win. And the Joe Edwards Champions League train continues.
Absolutely. Peter, thank you very much for the donation. Very much appreciated. A couple more comments coming in. I see Obafemi was practicing his diving for a pen against a plastic dummy in training. We'll be there with Sophie. See you tomorrow, Mike. And Sophie, 3-0 Preston, then we'll sack their manager. We need a performance first and foremost. The results will come. I agree with Le Lion Blue there. We do need a performance. We do need to stand up and be counted for after last week. It's been interesting. It's been nice to talk about. It's been a little bit more positive, apart from the last couple of comments, which people think we're gonna get hammered. And as Stephen has said here, it's not all doom. Look at Charlton. Our friends down the road at the Valley are having a tough time, and we shouldn't laugh, but we will anyway.
Lovely to see.
Guys, thank you very much for joining me and Ben this evening. As I said, we've had an injury crisis, we've had suspensions at that Millwall podcast, but Ben and I have managed to cobble together and
who's suspended?
I was just trying to be clever and you've ruined it now. The first team has been decimated, but we've still got options available, much like the Lions tomorrow.
B team have been rolled out.
Yeah, the reserves. I hope you guys have enjoyed it. If you're at the game tomorrow, come and say hello. If you see me, I'll be wandering around and up in block 10. Thank you very much for listening again. If you can like, subscribe to the channel, we are over 2,100 subscribers now. Mickey is very, very pleased. The numbers are going up. So if you can continue to do that, it'd be great. We're all over Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, you name it. There's a couple of comments coming through it. Cheers, Alex. Who suspended Chris? I was trying to be football terms, but you guys have taken it too far. You're much like Ben. First time in ages all presenters have hair. Yes, that's true. We are the young guns. We're the young ones now, and we do have hair. Mickey will have fun looking at that back, and Mike, I'm sure he'll be after you. Rob Quinn, good fun, guys. Thanks. Lulu Bly, come on, you Lions. And we'll leave it with that. Come on, you Lions. 2-1 victory to Millwall tomorrow. You heard it here first.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. As football fans, we often pride ourselves on knowing everything, from which substitution can turn the game around to the quickest route home to beat the crowds. However, when it comes to discussing feelings with our friends, we might not always feel as confident. That's why we're here to equip you with the right tools so you can reach out to those who can help. If your mates are struggling, let them know that the Samaritans are free to call on 116 123. That's 116 123. They are there to listen without judgment or pressure, 24/7, 365 days of the year. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.